Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adam, where do you stand on the term mojo? Mojo. You back her? You believe it?
It seems a little dated to me.
Dated. But I mean, I'll tell you why I'm going to use it here. We have one Twins fan amongst us. Is that correct? Are you a Twins fan, Adam
Clark? I am a Twins fan.
Okay.
So I grew up with the Twins, and I am a Twins fan.
Can you give us a little bit of "We're Going to Win" Twins?
No.
Why not?
Because the season's over.
We're going to
disappointed.
Win. Yeah, you're disappointed. Well, Lynn's,
by the way, I think we were 3-for-3 yesterday.
We all the picked the loss. Lose. Thank you. We're very good at that. Hopefully there's no recordings of that. One of us yesterday had on what I thought was a great shirt. Even Jesus hates the Yankees. And Lindsay told us that she borderline had a confrontation at a grocery store.
Target,
right? About this. Have a bit of a sense of humor, I would say to the folks. So we knew we were going to talk about it. We discussed it Monday, Tuesday, and then today we're having on the best baseball analyst in the state, Tom Kelly. I firmly believe that. If we could have anybody on who resides in the state of Minnesota, he is my number one pick. He's fantastic. If he knows what has taken place with the Hillcrest Club Championship in honor of the late, great Dark Man, I might get Tom's thoughts on it.
Right.
Because I've told you before, when I heard Dark and Tom breaking down the ladies, I think it was the ladies' senior club championship for about 30 minutes, I was crying. It was just so good.
One of the highlights of my life was to say that I've golfed with Dark Star and Tom Kelly twice.
And weren't you a little nervous?
I hit Tom's ball on one hole.
put that down.
No, I think I was like, no, I think you're done. No, that was my ball. No.
Okay. No. So we're having Tom on, and in theory, this could have been to look back, ending the losing streak, slaying the dragon,
exercising the demons,
and going on to take on the new big bad bully, the team that would never lose. But we've had success in Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians.
I think I said exercising the demons. So you let the demons run around.
Hey, they run around. You know what? They love jazzercise. Yep. They love that Jane Fonda workout. They can't get enough. So we have this thing we call talking points.
Speaking of exercising the demon.
That's an inside joke. And it kind of tells us what's going on in the other shows.
Yep.
Like, you know, if we want to promote Paul and Jordan, or Heinze wants to promote us. So I look at ours, former twin skipper, and I like the term skipper. I think it works excellent.
Skipper.
I applaud that. Skip. I would not call a manager Skip, though, myself, as a member of the media. Like, if I was on the team.
Oh, no, God, no.
No. How about when Tom would be called coach? That was tough. Former Twin skipper Tom Kelly joins Chad for a look at the 2017 season. I think that was Lindsay being negative. It wasn't a matter of Tom Kelly joins
Recaps
us to talk
the
about
joyous
the,
victory.
The victory of the Yankees and looks ahead to the Cleveland series. It was, well, the season's over, so recapping the year. I mean, Debbie Downer, what were you doing there?
Okay, so I have two things to say, and I will keep them brief.
Yes.
One, I didn't want to jinx us. And two, there are certain people who are on air before you who would not have an issue calling me an idiot if I had put that the Twins were going to win and then they didn't. There are people in this building who would have had a field day laughing at me. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Look at her.
Who?
I'm not naming names.
Wow. We're a name-naming show.
Well, I think use your imagination. I think it's pretty easy.
I use my imagination when I exercise the demons.
Yeah, I mean, what? How are they exercising right now?
Well, I don't have enough time to add all these to the replay, so could you just...
Well, that's why I'm spacing them out. I make sure there's a little dead air before
and after. Rat-a-tat-tat. So, Lindsay knew the Twins were going to lose, right? I mean, did you, when you called Tom, to say, hey, Tom, we want you to recap the season after they lose to the Yankees?
No, I said, I'm hopeful that we're going to have you on to preview...
Adam,
the series with Cleveland.
Does this talking point seem hopeful? Former Twin skipper Tom Kelly joins Jed for a look at the season. Wow. I thought she was the fan.
Well, why not just say Tom Kelly joins Chad to put a fork in the 2017 Twins?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like we didn't know this was going to happen. Put a fork in it. That's a great phrase, too.
Stick a fork in it.
Stick a fork right in it, right? Do you use that phrase much?
I just did.
Stick a fork in this newscast right now. Here he is, Adam Carter. Let's talk a little more about the Twins on the field. So let me ask you this. Was last night worse because they gave you hope? Because Dozier starts off, hits the homer, Rosario hits the two-run homer. We'll get to the missed opportunities, but yeah, I mean, they did have runners second and third with one out. But they come out of that inning, the ace is out of the game, and they're up 3-0. Lindsay, for you, does that make the loss even more painful than, let's say, it was your traditional start? They're tied after one inning, and slowly but surely, the Yankees separate themselves and win the game.
Yeah, it was that little glimmer of hope. I was instructed in the first inning that I was no longer allowed to yell at the television or that the TV was going to be turned off. I get really into it.
That's by John?
My father used to yell at the television.
Wait a minute, you just said you were told to stop.
Yeah,
running.
I mean, well, seriously.
Isn't that referencing you?
Yes, that's referencing
I didn't say
him.
Who I was watching the game with.
Okay.
My father, that was...
If you would have been watching the game, who might you have been watching?
That was a full trait for my father, was yelling at the TV. And by the Aaron Judge home run, I was...
Yeah, but Adam's
I've scared my kids yelling at the TV during sports.
Well, most of the time, Adam's yelling when it's fantasy football. At least in this case, Lindsay is cheering, yelling.
Playoff hockey.
Yeah. Okay. So Judge hits his homer. That put it 7-4. Was that the peak of your screaming? When was your highest?
No, because after the first inning, I kind of calmed down and I opened a bottle of wine and then...
Went to booze.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Gregorius...
Turned off Twitter. I just kind of sat there.
Wow. It was... So it's just... You knew it was going to be that difficult to
hear from
other
people.
Well,
I knew once we got to the Yankees bullpen, we were...
It was over.
It was done for.
Well, I mean, their starter was pretty good. I mean, you did want the starter out of the game.
No.
Yes, you did, because that means he was terrible in your scoring run.
No, absolutely. But it was like this glimmer of hope. You were like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And then the other half of the first inning happened.
Yeah. Dexter. Severino lasted longer than Lindsay did with the bet. That's pretty good. So, yes, it's worse for me. I think when you're given a little bit of hope, right, Adam? When you're given the ray of hope, I think it makes it worse. Now, it wasn't exactly a small amount of time because I believe that first inning was a 48-minute inning. 48 minutes. If it kept at that pace right now, would we be a part of Twins fan line right now? We just would be breaking down. I want to ask Tom about this too, because I think when you see pitchers and when you see that their velocity is up higher than it normally is, a lot of times then the lack of control is tied to it. And Santana was consistently at 96, 97. That's higher than where he's at. He can occasionally touch that, but most time in the starts, he's 93, 94. Severino was at 100 from the first pitch, so he was a little bit higher. So did you think, Carter, once Gregorius hits the home run, and it's now 3-3 after one, were you less optimistic for a Twins W than you were starting the game? Because you're finishing the first inning tied as you normally would be in a typical game.
No, actually not. No, I was not. A lot of baseball left first inning. I mean, plus two, that tempered my excitement for the three runs in the first inning. It's like, man, I mean, it was great, but first inning. I mean, and these are the New York Yankees, and we're in New York.
Yes. Okay. More on that. Text away 81807. We'll stay with this for a bit longer. Jason DeRoche is with us, playing politics, and Tom Kelly, all coming up this afternoon on CCO. Somebody saying that Buxton should have bunted in the first inning. Heck no. I am such an anti-bunting person, first of all. Now, you got Green coming in, the reliever, one of the, you know, nine future Hall of Fame relievers the Yankees bring in.
Yeah, if it's later innings and you're down by one.
I don't even like that. I mean, I know a lot of people do that. The way Buxton has played, now I get it. Buxton, among this young group, is as vulnerable as anyone against the tough right-handed pitcher. But it's 3-0. You have runners in scoring position. There's one out. Here's how many times I want Buxton to bunt in that scenario. 0 out of infinity. Now, this person can say, guess what? He struck out. But I'm still letting Buxton go away. So they left runners on second and third in that inning. They started getting the first two runners on in the third inning. Did score when Buxton beats out the potential double play. They're 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. That's a lot. I forget what the numbers were in the three-game series about 3 weeks ago, Adam and Lindsay. But that was it, right? It was, you were going to work your way into some chances. But there's no, you know, it's tough to win games if you're going to have chance after chance after chance and you don't take advantage. I thought there was an interesting decision the Molitor had to make when Santana, I mean, I'm not going to go as far as Suhan. Suhan went way farther than I would go in his column today, basically questioning Santana going forward. Santana had a great year. No one views Santana as elite. But Santana pitched like an ace this year. Did he pitch like Chris Sale, Archer, Kluber? No, but he was a top guy. His numbers were outstanding. He just was lousy last night. But he absolutely can be a part of this mix at a high level for a while. But when they get Berríos up, you're only going to get, as we were texting last night, Adam, he's pitched out of the bullpen one time. You're only going to get him once, maybe twice. And I thought Paul made the right decision by giving Santana one more inning. They get another homer. That was the Gardner homer, right? When he went inside. And that's what Santana does all year. If you watch Santana during his career, he is old school that way. Where he goes inside, hey, I had no problem with Gardner did. He hit the homer. He stared him, but he kept going. It wasn't over the top. That's fine. Berríos, I mean, listening to some people today, you'd think, you know, Berríos was brilliant. He did give up 3 runs. He was fine, right? I mean, you can't say he was great because he gave up 3 runs, and that's at a point when, you know, you need him to go extended into that game. You need 4 innings out of him, and I'm thinking if it's going to be a great start, he gives up 1 run or so. But they have, and the thing people forget, the Yankees were not supposed to be at this level, Adam, this quickly, right? When Cashman made the decision, the Yankees GM, we're gonna start passing on payroll because they've had multiple years of free agency where they have not jumped in with the typical crazy 8-year 240. It was bye-bye A-Rod, bye-bye Jeter, Mariano's getting older, and then you're dealing with Sabathia. But these guys have all come together sooner. Part of what does stand out, though, and again, I don't think this young club was affected at all by the history, but it is pretty startling that they now have dropped 13 consecutive playoff games. For a sport that is as random as any, Adam, with just the construct of the season, to think you're going to have a pretty damn good team if you're going to make the playoffs and lose 13 straight games? Am I missing where that ranks in all-time playoff history? Can we look that one up? What is the playoff record for consecutive losses? How startling Does that seem to you? 13 straight.
It's very startling, and it's like we always have to run into them. You know, it's we can never, even though, like you were saying before, would you rather face the Red Sox or the Yankees in the one game? You want to face the Yankees and overcome that demon.
Absolutely.
But yeah. It is, you know, pretty soon after a while, it's like, oh, God, you got the Yankees again? But, and you're right, and it should be noted, too. Look, at the trade deadline, Twins were selling, Yankees were buying.
Right, right. So how much heat, in hindsight, do Falvey and Levine
not at all
get for that?
Not at all.
None, because they
it was the road trip, right? Then stumbled through the road trip, thinking,
they're
okay,
back.
Yeah, this is it.
They're if in the end they would have come up short, I think people could have raised the question. But considering where they were at, I had no problem with what they did.
Pass all the way.
Yeah.
In last night's loss, the Twins matched the Boston Red Sox, who lost in the playoffs from 86 to 95. So 13 straight, they've tied for the worst record.
That is
remarkable. So all we need is a 7-game series with the Yankees, get down 4-0 or 3-0. And come back.
Rope-a-dope.
Yep.
Have you heard that? Mauer without a single playoff victory. Joe Mauer does not have a playoff victory. He's been there a number of times. He had the one that went, what would you say, 5 feet short of the wall, left field. Late in the ninth inning to extend it just for one more at bat. Where does Mauer's playoff record, lack of a victory, where does that, how does that mix in with his legacy, Lindsay and Adam? Because he is a part of a lot of these losses. You know, 10 years from now, when he's in the Twins Hall of Fame, and he's right now he's not headed for the Baseball Hall of Fame. If he stayed catching for a lot longer, he would have been. And when you're putting together the whole thing, if nothing changes, how high up in the paragraph is Joe, if it stays it this way, without a single victory in the playoffs?
Well, it's not all on him, but, man, I mean, you look at it, and, I mean, he's your main guy over all those years. And that futility is shackled to his leg.
Yeah. You know what it's created to? Bilateral leg weakness.
Right.
It's not at the top for me, Lindsay. But it's in that third or fourth line that if you have a group that had the one group had its success, and let's say this group has its success also, and he was a part of it, and you don't get a single victory, and he's kind of that singular twin during at least the one era and a part of in the second era, has to be a fair amount of it.
Well, and it also probably plays a role that he was spun as the guy who was going to get us out of it, you know, the guy that was coming in. The team was going to change. He's a local guy. We all had these big hopes and dreams with Joe Mauer dating back to when he was in high school. You know, he was like, there's a reason they call him Baby Jesus. Like the nickname was this idea behind it. And so you're right. It definitely, what did you say? A chain on his leg or
shackled to his leg.
There you go. Good analogy. I like that.
Thank you. Hemingway over there.
Well, you know,
you're a writer
up there.
You're a writer. Any other words?
I dabble.
You dabble? Do you have a writing career on the side? You know, you're not Adam Carter.
My nom de plume is, you would not know.
You want to share with us?
It's Ken Follett. That's my.
It's on one of those websites that CBS doesn't allow us to look at in the building.
I'm talented in that area.
Yeah. God. Let's pause and maybe see if another show can start. These two are very close. We don't talk about it a lot, but Jason Durocha and Vanilla Ice have spent a lot of time together, and we bring Jason in. Speaking of ice, are you still at the X right now as you join us?
I am. I've stepped out in the hallway because it's, you know, when you have a media event for new food,
yes,
people come out of the woodwork.
Yes.
I mean, there are journalists in that other room from publications I've literally never heard of.
In fact, I'm told...
By the way, you said, it's our ice.
Yeah, it is.
It's our ice.
The ice is out there from Plymouth. It's from St.
Paul. Yeah, I brought it. That's right. Well, what was nice is for this event, one of the new things they're doing here for food is a big thing called This Is Our Punch Bowl. And so people get to bring
whatever they want.
You get to bring like your favorite liquor.
Spanish fly.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
When do we do the booyah? What time of year is
this? Is booyah. This is prime booyah time.
Are we bringing that to the extra? Are we doing where?
I think you should be allowed
I'm on CCO radio right now. We're talking about how you guys did the This Is Your Ice thing where people brought. How this can we Chuck bring that Fletcher to food story. Service? You know, where people bring in like their favorite, maybe homebrewed beer, and we dump it into one jug, and we serve it up. It's a homebrew booyah.
Doesn't sound like they're real thrilled about that idea.
I mean, that's very optimistic.
No, I mean, I liked it.
I have a lot of ideas. Though, I'm happy to keep.
Why don't you
up.
Tell them afterwards too that you'd like to talk to Chuck Fletcher and Bruce Boudreau? That you've got some ideas about the lineup.
I have some ideas to kind of maybe firm up the first line.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
And say, listen, I watched the playoffs last year. You guys didn't advance. I mean,
well, sure. It's like right now, everyone in town is a WNBA basketball.
Oh yeah. Now I saw
a lot of Twins. A lot of Twins experts last night on Twitter as well.
We've moved on. I mean, they're done. They let us down.
They didn't let us down. Come on.
Let us down.
Bonus baseball.
I Adam was calling for them to move. Maybe send him back to Washington. Okay.
Contraction.
You know,
get the contraction talk started again.
That for the first 2 hours.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy baseball. So it's still among the major sports is my number two. It was great.
Your number one?
NBA.
Me too.
Yeah, still the NBA. But you're going tonight.
I feel like that's a growing group. Like we're coming out of the woodworks, the NBA fans.
Well, I think some of it is because the club has led us to the wilderness for about 13 years and didn't leave any food either. I mean, it was like, okay, we'll see ya. So now you'll be at House of Pain though tonight. I want to get back to the X in a little bit.
I will. Yeah.
Are you bringing the whole family?
I am. This actually, my son is the one who really was the ringleader of this deal. Sam, the 10-year-old.
Okay.
He wanted to go. He wanted to be there. So I bought. I legit bought tickets, like any commoner. You know.
Wait, you're going with common? You said or.
I didn't get any sort of hookup. I'll be in an obstructed seat because it's the barn.
Well, that is
90% of the seats are obstructed, I think.
What surprised me though is and this game is going to sell out, that the first few playoff games at Williams were like 10,000-11,000.
It's pretty good, right?
Well, I don't know.
How long has the WNBA been around? It's a very young sport.
Well,
they're only
2000
in the WNBA.
These guys are in the middle of a dynastic run right now, and
okay, yes, they are. They are the best of their league, but also let's be realistic to a certain degree. WNBA is a new sport. The league,
it's not that
very
new.
Small.
No, not small here. They've had
how many teams do you play in the WNBA?
Two. You just play Minnesota and LA. Just play each other. Each
that's it.
That's
my point. That the WNBA as a league has what, 12 teams, 14 teams?
I think it's right around there. I just think, Jason, when you have these names, when you're as established as they've been, the crowds were excellent at the X. But when you went back to Williams, I thought they'd be selling out. I thought they would go from 10,000-11,000 to 14,000. I mean, it's not like I was crushed.
Yeah.
I just
WNBA is 20 years old.
Where do you think the NBA was 20 years in? I mean, what's the comparable sports league just 20 years in?
Yeah, but it depends on the success you've had. I mean, these guys were in. I mean, we kind of forget that for 5 years the Lynx were the laughingstock, and that's how they were able to accumulate
even
all these great players.
Even successful teams aren't huge draws, though. It's not entirely about success. Some of it is about marketing. Like I think initially they were marketing the Lynx more as like this is only for women to come to. And I think that's changed a bit. I think their marketing's good. They have a great product, obviously.
If they don't win tonight, if they lose back-to-back years to the Sparks, are you calling for Shail Reeves' head?
Absolutely. I'm 100% out.
I mean,
I say, currently I believe, you know, if I'm like every other Minnesota sports fan, I'm currently calling for everyone's head.
Exactly.
I believe every team. I mean, the Lynx won their last game, so Cheryl can stay.
Stay, yeah.
But pretty much everybody else is gone.
Carter, there's no question when we're just talking soundbite Cheryl Reeves is by far the best coach in town, right? I mean, is there anybody even close? Right? I mean, Zimmer, a little.
Boudreaux's probably got a little.
Boudreaux's pretty good, yeah. Right? But Cheryl is fantastic. And she's had a great track record. Jason, for me, I love it when you see two teams emerge. So I think, you know, if they played 4 years in a row, it might get a little bit old. But yeah. The fact that these two teams have emerged as by far the best two teams, and it's borderline the same scenario where the LA could have clinched it last year in LA game four, and the Lynx won, and we know how close it was and controversial last year. So
I think it's great. I agree with you. I think it's great for the sport. I know some people get, like with the NBA, same thing, where you say, here we go again. The best teams are only these couple of teams. But I'm okay with that. Like, I think the Sparks and the Lynx are two excellent teams, and it's fun to watch. And so what would you prefer?
I'd rather have this. I would.
Yeah, me too. This is going to be so much fun tonight.
Yeah. Okay, now back to food, because so we'll stay sports here. Right now for me, and Adam, you chime in next, Jason can go third. If I'm going to rank the food options in town, I'm going Target Field 1, U.S. Bank 2, and then pre-Wild, because we need to defer to Jason here on what they debuted. I still probably would go the Wild 3rd, because the Wolves have just upgraded, so we don't know what food they're going to bring. Gopher football's added a little bit. Gopher basketball doesn't bring much.
Gopher football's pretty bad.
Yeah, it has been.
It's pretty bad.
United, I was there. I thought they might have a little bit more. It was just okay. And when they have their own stadium, they'll have their own stuff.
It'll be good. When they have their own stadium, it'll be good.
What do you think, Carter? Is Target Field still one, or are you like U.S. Bank better?
Oh, yeah, just based on, the frequency where I've had the food, too. I mean, I haven't had that much at U.S. Bank Stadium. But yeah, Target Field's got a bunch of great options.
And they keep bringing it. Okay, so what are the Wild trying to do this year, Jason?
You know, they're bringing in some more partnerships this year. So Izzy's Ice Cream is going to be in here, which I think people will like. There's this cool little food truck that started up last year called Hockey Mom Brownies. And they're going to be in here this year. So I think that's smart, right? Partnering with some outside folks.
Right.
You know, if you think about the Wild, most of this place is a season ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So it's the same crowd coming over and over and over. So the best way, I think, to improve here is going to be more of those partnerships. I still think they could do more here with that. They have some stuff in the suite level where local restaurants take over the Jack Daniels restaurant here.
Yep, right.
And that, I will say, last year, one of the best meals I had last year was at a Wild game from the restaurant St. Dinette that did like a chef's tasting menu.
Oh, okay.
In the X. It was awesome.
Nice. How do they rank with
cool stuff like that?
How do they rank with the Twins for beer choices? See, that's a part of what makes Target Field so good. The Target Field gives you so many, and they're so good at that.
Improving. So one of the announcements they made today, they have two craft beer bars on the main level at the X. And they'll have Castle Danger Cream Ale, which is a nice beer. They'll have a Bent Paddle Golden Hop IPA, which is very good. They got a Fulton. They got an Insight Saison beer that's pretty fun. It's made with, I forget the wine, but it's made with some wine grapes, so it gives it kind of a unique flavor. So they're getting better. There are six craft beer that are going to be at this spot.
Okay, so you're leaving St. Paul. You're headed to the Grove. Are you going to mix in a nap before you go back down to Williams?
There's going to be a nap. There's going to be a kid going to an orthodontist appointment.
Oh.
I mean, this is the luxury life.
Yeah, bring the wallet. Bring the wallet. That orthodontist, that is not inexpensive.
I would just say to Adam's statement, I think it's possible U.S. Bank is maybe a notch above Target Field right now because of all the Zimmern stands at U.S. Bank. But it's pretty close. The regular food at U.S. Bank still has real problems meeting the crushing demand that comes with a football game.
I was going to say that I still think they struggle with lines. I mean, I get it. It's 60-some thousand.
It's 60,000 at once, but they built that demand. It's their own fault.
Yes.
They built it up, And then meeting the demand is challenging.
Here's what I would say when you go to the orthodontist later today. Just give them your bank card and just say, get back to me. Right? Just get back to me, and hopefully there'll be a little bit left.
It's $6,000 for braces.
Got it. Did you think about just saying, listen, you know, messy teeth, it's not that bad. I mean,
I said to Seth, I said, I think your teeth look pretty good.
Works in England.
Yeah.
Jason, if you'd like me to have a conversation with your son about the importance of wearing his retainers, I will gladly do that.
Yeah. Good. I will definitely have
send him my way.
Aunt Lindsay will take care of that.
Man, the retainer's no fun at night, though. It's just,
good.
It's
he
not.
Can go on his first date when he's 16.
Is he? Do they still do the whole helmet thing where you
headgear.
Wear the headgear? Oh,
it's rubber bands. You do rubber bands at night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, oof. Melissa had headgear when she was a youngster.
How would you
She's allergic to her braces. So God.
Wait a second. She had the braces in and she was allergic to them?
Yeah, she didn't know until they were in. It turned out she was allergic to something in the nickel or whatever the compound was.
Let me just try this out for you and tell me what you think. Hi, this is Jason DeRusha. I'm here to talk about Dr. David fill in the blank, who's, I mean, if you were doing spots for this orthodontist, right? Wouldn't you be excited? Close.
I tell you what, it's enough to make me think about quitting TV and getting into radio.
Close circuit.
I could do some endorsements so I could pay for these braces.
Close circuit of the sales staff. Reach out to Jason DeRusha on a local orthodontist.
My price can be named. There's no question.
Exactly.
About it.
All right. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the night. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
DeRusha on a myriad of topics. It's 12:50. That is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to improve the look of your home with our clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. You can help bring light to the darkness of cancer, and it's not that far away. It's Sunday, October 15th. It's at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night, Twin Cities, Minneapolis. You can start a team. You can join a team when we walk. Learn more at lightthenight.org/m-n. Again, lightthenight.org/m-n.
I'm told that the MC of that event is incredibly handsome.
I have been asked.
Incredibly talented person.
I have been asked, and I've was told that they had somebody right now that they called.
Nice of him to mention me.
A complete goofball. No, you are. Yeah. Why aren't they? Why aren't you mentioned right here?
I don't know.
Man. Oh man. Do you go?
Well, I mean, you want people to attend.
Do you do like 15 minutes of humor first? You
it's
know,
not that kind of crowd.
No, I
no.
Mean, listen, you were telling me a week ago you really think this ventriloquist act that you've been working
it's gonna
on
take off.
It's going to take off. Maybe right here.
Right.
Well,
actually, it's a very. Let me if I can just talk about it for a moment. It's a very. It's very. It's an emotional night.
It is.
But it's also uplifting.
Right.
It's just very touching how they do it with the different lights that people carry with them.
Yeah.
And started out, it was at Target Field for when I first started doing it. And 1 year it was at the Mall of America.
And for you, this is, remind people why you're drawn to this.
One of my best friends passed away from leukemia in 2012. And when he was diagnosed in 2011, in August of 2011, I remember just, getting that news and thinking, okay, what can I do?
Can I help? Yeah.
And I stumbled upon it. It just happened that I saw about the Light the Night walk. And at that time, it was a little earlier, so we were about a month away from it. So we got all of our friends together and signed up as a team and walked that year. And
2 years ago, on the day of this event, Flip Saunders died.
That's right.
And Flip.
That was when it was at the Mall of America.
That was when it was at the mall. And Flip had finished with the chemotherapy. And his body was just so vulnerable at the time. And he became sick. And there was no feeling at all at that point that would get to that level. I mean, he was reaching out to folks. He was talking about, different things he was going to do and when he could start coaching again. So whether it's a well-known individual like Flip, whether it's a best friend like Adam has, whether it's somebody extraordinarily close in your family, it is a great cause, and it touches so many people. So if you can help out in some way, I know all of us would greatly appreciate it. Plenty more come out of next hour on CCO.
One person is dead after a plane crash in Eden Prairie. That and more coming up at 108 on WCCO and KMNB-FM HD2 Minneapolis-St. Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.